Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show. We'll be here for the next hour and 25 minutes. And we appreciate you listening to AFR each and every day. Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning. Good to be here this Monday.
Ed Vitagliano is missing in action this week.
That's right.
He's taking the week. Is he taking the whole week off?
Yes, sir. The whole week being Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Right. We wouldn't be here on Wednesday anyway because it's the 4th of July, Independence Day here in the good old U.S. of A. So Ed will be out this week, and well, we'll miss him.
We will. And we'll have Dr. Ray Pritchard join us tomorrow.
Okay, Ray will be here tomorrow and Thursday, maybe?
I think just tomorrow.
Just tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we look forward to a good week of programming here on American Family Radio on this show. Chris Woodward. Chris, good morning to
good
you,
morning.
Sir.
Glad to be back.
I missed the morning meeting that you and Walker had about the show this morning, so you're not going to spring any surprises on me, huh?
I wouldn't do that, Mr. President.
Okay. Because I want to be prepared. I want to sound smart.
We'll try to keep it pretty status quo.
Okay. Okay. So let's start with the heat.
Yes.
The heat, is a heat wave across the good old U.S.
There is a heat wave across the USA. Of course, it's not even, it hasn't gotten hot here yet in Mississippi where we are. It's still warm. But there has been parts of the country, Colorado, parts in Chicago, they've experienced above average temperatures, things of that nature. Yeah.
103 I saw yesterday in Maine. Did y'all see this?
Yep.
I'll take 103 in Maine versus Tupelo.
I don't know. You better check. I don't know. 103 degrees in New England. That constitutes a heat wave, I think. But I saw it was 62 in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we have a lot of listeners in New Hampshire, and I know that, you know, they don't have air conditioning up there in most parts of New England because they don't need it.
Right.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. We have central air
everywhere.
Here,
yeah.
In most parts, a lot of parts of the country, you have air conditioning. Mm-hmm. But in, I guess, parts of New England and maybe the upper Midwest, you really don't have need maybe 2 or 3 weeks a year. Mm-hmm. For air conditioning, so they don't have it. But now it's 103 degrees. And we'll check and see what it is right now, Walker.
Okay.
Just type in.
For the Northeast?
Type in Bangor, Maine.
Okay.
Bangor. I think that's how you spell it. Bangor, Maine temperature. And tell me what it says today's high is. And we'll wait for your answer.
no pressure, I mean.
Yeah.
I hope the internet's working
the
fast.
The internet's working. Al Gore's warning us about this.
Yeah,
he's come out of his shell.
Finally, after 25, 30 years.
He was nowhere to be found this winter.
We're looking at 76 degrees.
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about the high today.
The high looks like 81 today.
Okay, well then maybe I know yesterday I saw New England said 103, so maybe it was
not tomorrow the high will be 91.
Okay, maybe it's just yesterday.
Yeah.
But anyway, highly unusual for those folks in New England to be experiencing that kind of heat. But Al Gore, back to Al Gore, he came out, you know, he went and hid for the winter when it was the coldest winter we've had in a long time, I guess. But now he's back to proclaim victory.
He has. Now, as victory bizarre as this sounds, they have claimed in recent years that record cold and even snowfall was evidence of what they called man-made climate change or global warming.
Right. But they got it all. They got the best of both worlds, so to speak. You know, if it gets real hot, they say climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Gets real cold, they say climate change. Hey, you can't beat them.
Yeah,
you know,
and
they got
people that are scared to say anything.
They got
to the contrary.
They got you either way. You know, it's summertime and it's hot, and in the winter it gets cold. That's my weather forecast.
You know, right along the same lines, I was reading a headline yesterday, reading a story about the whole plastic recycling, and how that's really been a horrible thing for the environment, because these companies that are supposed to be recycling the plastic only use like a small fraction of the plastic to actually recycle. The rest of it they ship overseas, and a lot of it is dumped in the ocean. And so you have these big plastic wads of miles and miles of plastic in the ocean.
Dumped in the ocean.
Yes.
There's piles of garbage in the ocean.
Well, I know that, but I thought that was just garbage. I didn't know it was dumping.
Well, no, these not in the U.S. because it's obviously probably illegal, but these companies, some in the U.S., ship the plastic to Asia where there's no kind of environmental rules.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's cheaper just to dump it. And so they'll dump it, and it's supposed to be what is supposed to be recycled plastic. But along the same lines with the global warming, it's kind of all...
Yeah, well, everybody I know is in favor of taking care of the environment. But, you know, we all like clean water, clean air, right? But, you know, when you start having these regulatory measures that are really oppressive to the economy in the name of, you know, controlling global warming, when a lot of the science is, quote, unproven, end quote, you know, then it begs the question, why are they wanting to regulate?
Right.
And really, a lot of it has to do with wanting to go against the free enterprise system or capitalism. But that's a story for another day. Let's get back to the news at hand. We've already covered the heat. What do we got, Chris?
Well, we've got developing news out of Cleveland, where Fox News is reporting a man who pledged allegiance to Al-Qaeda, sought to kill members of the military, and conducted reconnaissance in downtown Cleveland for a planned attack on July 4th. But the Independence Day plot was foiled after a months-long investigation, federal officials said Monday. This guy has been identified as Demetrius Pitts, also known as Abdur Rahim Rafiq. He was arrested at 10 o'clock yesterday morning by the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Authorities were initially notified about Pitts in 2017 when he lived in nearby Cincinnati and allegedly made statements supporting Al-Qaeda and advocating violence against U.S. military members.
Well, thank the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that the FBI has foiled a terrorist attack that was supposed to take place 2 days from now?
Yes.
Wow.
Based on evidence that they had been following.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
So Cleveland was going to have a 4th of July celebration like many cities do.
Yes, sir.
And this guy was going to commit an act of terrorism, and he was busted.
Yeah, it is a good thing.
Who is he and where is he from?
He has been identified as Demetrius Pitts, also known as Abdur Rahim Rafiq.
So he's a Muslim?
He is a Muslim. I'm not sure where he is from. He moved to Cleveland recently, and authorities said he continued to express his radical ideology. He was making anti-American, pro-Islamic remarks on Facebook.
He's a convert, then.
Yes.
He's a convert. If his name was Stephen Anthony, that's...
Well, his name is Demetrius Pitts. FBI
special agent in charge, Stephen Anthony. So Stephen Anthony's... I just smeared his name. On national radio. He's the actual FBI agent.
Yes, sir.
That made this known publicly. So Demetrius Pitts was the gentleman's name.
Yes.
He's not a gentleman. He's a terrorist, would-be terrorist. But he, a lot of times, when these folks convert to Islam, they change their name. Like Cassius Clay changed his name to Muhammad Ali.
Correct.
Like Lew Alcindor changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, so it's common... So this fella, he had what would be called a regular American name, and he changed his name to Abdur Rahim Rafiq, I guess his name was. So, you know, so he was probably caught because he was bragging publicly on social media and that kind of thing about his anti-Americanism?
Yeah, just to give you an idea, he was saying on Facebook, quote, "We as Muslims need to start training like this every day. We need to know how to shoot guns, throw grenades, and hand-to-hand combat."
Yeah, that'll get you followed by the FBI right there.
Yes. Well, you know, this is the same FBI that knew about other people that have done horrible things in recent years, and they failed to act on it. So something has changed, or these people were on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, the flip side of that is the FBI has done this a lot, though. They do fail sometimes, I guess, but they have foiled a lot of terrorist attacks. And what happens is, unfortunately, they don't get the notoriety because the terrorist attack never happens. So this is a one-day news story.
Right.
But really, the FBI should be congratulated for this anti-terrorism work that they've done.
Yeah. Our law enforcement, those guys are excellent. The FBI, local law enforcement, and they stop a lot of incidents from occurring.
This happened in Portland, Oregon, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think it was, maybe longer. They foiled an attack by a Muslim radical on a, I think it was a Christmas or a, you know, maybe it was a New Year's Day. Mm-hmm. Anyway, where the local community, everybody gathers, right. You know, to celebrate, and then they were going to do this. But this is again a situation where you have a radical Muslim, and he wanted to kill people because he believes that this is serving Allah.
Right.
You know, this is a religious belief. This is why when people say radical Islam, I know people are saying to me, some people are saying through the radio, no, we're talking about just Islam. It's not radical Islam. This is what Islam believes. But I use the radical to distinguish between people who would kill mm-hmm. and people who wouldn't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the vast, vast majority of Muslims don't kill people.
Right. I've met several here in Tupelo just witnessing, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, not all of them threaten.
No, they don't subscribe. Of course, they're not going to tell you, hey, yeah, right. Yeah. You know, I'm one of the, I'm a radical. You know, yeah. I'm going to blow you up one day. I'm just not going to tell you today.
Right.
They're not going to tell you that. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Because that gives away. And that happens a lot. How many times do you read about when you see a Muslim attack on people, and then you read and they go, well, he was just the nicest neighbor.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Does that not happen every time? Well, duh. He doesn't want to blow his cover ahead of time.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to be nice to you or act neighborly.
Mm-hmm.
But when these folks... I'm just glad that the FBI was able to foil this because we don't know how many innocent people would have lost their lives.
Right.
But, you know, when you say profile, I know the left freaks out on that, Walker. But almost every time you read about something like this happening, Chris and Walker,
yeah.
It's when – and then the after – the interviews after the fact, people go, well, you know, man, he was getting more vocal in his views.
Yeah.
Or he was dressing more conservatively, or he grew his beard out. You know what I'm saying? These things are tip-offs.
Yeah, to act like law enforcement and we all don't profile and we can somehow solve the world problems without profiling every day, that's you're very naive to think you can go without profiling and get things done. The fact is, if you're in a back alley at night and it's dark and there's a 6'5" male with a hoodie on walking towards you, you're going to be a little concerned because you've profiled the threat. If you're walking down an alley at night and a little 6-year-old girl's coming at you, are you going to be more fearful? No. The 6'5" male with the hoodie on.
So we all profile.
We profile every day. Law enforcement profiles because there are certain descriptions, certain behaviors
mm-hmm.
that signal.
They fit the typical.
That signal that a crime's going to occur, something bad's going to happen. So profiling is part of protecting our country. And that doesn't mean you're racist or anything like that. Profiling is just how you try to prevent things from occurring.
Well, as I heard somebody say, Islam is not a race. I think Frank Turek said that. So you may be something. Maybe you're Islamophobic.
Right, right.
But you're not a racist
yeah.
Because Islam is not a race. It's, you know, Islam is a ideology mm-hmm. or a religion.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Chris Woodward. Chris, what's next?
All right. Well, another government agency that's hard at work for us today is Immigration and Customs Enforcement, as you guys are aware.
ICE.
There are a lot of Democrats that want to, in their words, abolish ICE based on the separation of families and other things going on at the border. There was a sheriff from Frederick County, Maryland, named Chuck Jenkins. He was on Fox and Friends today, kind of countering what we're hearing from Senator Dick Durbin and other Democrats saying they're wrong for wanting to abolish ICE. This clip two.
I say that's a very irresponsible and ignorant statement on his part. I mean, he clearly doesn't understand the role of ICE. He has demeaned and insulted a large group of men and women who protect this country, who do a difficult job every single day. They are on the wall.
Sheriff, where does he get this impression, I mean, that they're heavy-handed, that they use inhumane tactics, that they're incompetent? Where does that impression come from?
Well, this is all the narrative of the left, the political ideology that they want open borders, they want no law, they want lawlessness, and obviously the target you go after is a very effective law enforcement organization, and ICE is very effective.
Sheriff, you work with ICE in your county. How effective are they? Have they been effective in addressing issues where you live?
Absolutely, they have. I have worked with ICE, people with ICE, from the street level agent to middle management to upper management with ICE. They're very dedicated, very committed. They do a tough job and they do it well. And listen, they are professionals, absolutely professionals.
That again is Frederick County, Maryland Sheriff Chuck Jenkins on Fox and Friends saying Democrats are wrong for wanting to abolish a government agency.
How widespread is this call for the dismantling of ICE inside the Democratic Party?
Growing by the day. It started with one or two people that we might label radical Democrats. And now it's gone to Senator Dick Durbin and others.
Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, yes. Called for the dismantling of ICE?
Mm-hmm.
Now, President Trump is tweeting about this and speaking about this. He thinks that this is a loser politically for the Democrats, Walker, if they keep calling for the dismantling of ICE.
Yeah, ICE, they abide under the same laws as your local police department, your local sheriff's department. So somehow to think there's this rogue force who don't have any rules and standards when it comes to arresting people, they follow the same rules that everybody else does, and they do it in a lawful manner. And so
ICE is called what now?
It's Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Okay.
So all the MS-13 thugs who are killing folks who are here in our country illegally, ICE is in charge of arresting them, detaining them, and deporting them. So ICE does, they keep our country safe from people who shouldn't be here.
Well, why would the Democrats be in favor of dismantling this organization?
Well, the Democrats' goal, and you've mentioned
and this, not all Democrats, by the way.
The most of Democrats' goal, at least some of the leaders, is for open borders. And one way you have open borders is not only to allow people to come into our country illegally, but also to break down the system that makes people exit our country who shouldn't be here. And ICE does that. So if you get rid of ICE, you don't have a border wall, then we have a free-for-all and anybody can come in.
Well, I think President Trump's right. I think this is a loser for the Democrats with the American people. I know the American people is a broad term, often used, undefined. But I'm talking about, I think, people who may not be Republican or Democrat but are kind of independent, the idea of dismantling the law enforcement agency that's supposed to protect us or, you know, arrest people who are here illegally, the idea that you do away with that is nuts.
Yeah. It's one of the newer agencies, but it was around the entire Obama administration.
Right.
Which, of course, we've played.
They could have dismantled it then.
They could have. And we've played sound from President Obama making seemingly Trump-ish remarks when it comes to the border. Nobody called for the abolishment of ICE then.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this comes amid the push by Democrats, including Maxine Waters, to obstruct people that don't agree with.
Did you have to mention her name?
Well, I do because.
It's Monday morning. I was having a good day, Chris, and you have to pull out Maxine Waters. Name.
Right. Well, we do have sound. She is continuing her push for people to speak up and speak out and
really?
Even impeach President Obama. It's clip or President Trump, clip 5.
I have no fear. I'm in this fight. And I know that there are those who are talking about censoring me, talking about kicking me out of Congress, talking about shooting me, talking about hanging me. All I have to say is this. If you shoot me, you better shoot straight. There's nothing like a wounded animal. I am not about to let this country go by the way of Donald Trump. We are sick and tired of him. He's been there too long. They dare me to say impeach him. Today I say impeach 45.
That is Congresswoman
Maxine
Waters from California. And where was she speaking there?
Pro-Trump,
a pro-Trump rally? Or?
It will, yeah.
Where was that?
RNC convention. Cleveland. I'm not sure where it was, but it was over the weekend.
Okay.
Steve
So somebody threatened to shoot her and hang her?
That's what she says.
Oh, that's a pretty serious charge.
Right. And, you know, there were even Democrats saying what you were saying, push people, get in their face.
What Walker was saying?
Things like that last week, Maxine was. There were Democrats.
She was, Maxine Waters. And some Democrats openly disavowed her on this. I will say that. Mm-hmm. But she was the one calling for the resistance to get in the face of President Trump's cabinet or anybody who agreed with President Trump on issues. She's in favor of you using mm-hmm. intimidation tactics, like, you know, publicly confronting them at restaurants, I guess, going to their house and standing outside and chanting and yelling.
Yeah,
and
the
so
Democrats
forth.
Seem to be increasingly the party of no message. I mean, they're the resistance, but usually a resistance at least has some counter message.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of the Democrats campaigning on some kind of issues that they want to get through Congress,
right.
this or that, it's just all out, we hate Trump, and that's our message. And I just don't yeah. think that clicks with people in America.
How far does that carry you? I mean, you get a certain people, certain percentage of people who will be riled up by that, but I think you're right. You've got to have something to offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, President Obama said this the other day. I was reading his comments at he gave a speech, and he said, listen, we've got to offer more than just we hate Trump.
Right.
He's speaking for Democrats and liberals. We've got to offer something more hopeful than that for the future.
Mm-hmm. And let's just say, all right, let's put the Democrats in power. What are you going to do? Well, they're going to abolish ICE. They're going to repeal the tax reform. You know, that that's not a winning message if you're wanting to win.
There's a war going on inside the Democratic Party, mm-hmm. too. And there's, you know, there's some would say there's that taking place between in the Republican Party. Although I think President Trump has basically won the direction of the Republican Party for the most part. But the war inside the Democrat Party is between the far, far left and the far, far, far left. Did anybody get that? The far, far left versus the far, far, far left. you have Chuck Schumer, crying Chuck Schumer. That's what the president calls him, right?
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah. Anyway. And Nancy Pelosi. So you got the old guard versus these new communists mm-hmm. that are coming up mm-hmm. In the Democratic Party. By communist, yeah. I mean they believe in communism.
Yeah.
as a philosophy for government. Yeah. They would say they call themselves democratic socialist, so they wouldn't call themselves communist necessarily. Although,
but their end game
is the same.
Is the same.
So, well, if you're willing to call yourself a democrat socialist, I mean that's what I mean that's pretty out yeah. in the open,
right.
don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
But there is a war mm-hmm. between that faction of the Democratic Party and I say the old guard, who believes many of the same ideas as the Democrat Socialists, they just don't say it out loud.
Right. They couch it in different terms.
Yeah, so we'll see who wins that war. But Nancy Pelosi, I've got to think her days are numbered in terms of being the leader of the House because she's at least mid-70s, yeah. and she's just not on top of her game.
Well, and the guy, one of the people that was considered kind of a front runner for her position is the 10-term Democratic congressman from New York that the Democratic Socialist, late in her late 20s, upset last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Nancy Pelosi is 78.
See, I mean, I'm not a – I know this sounds ageist. Can you be an ageist? Is
I
that like being
can.
A sexist or –
I believe so.
Can you be an ageist?
Well, sure.
So am I about to... Well, anyway, I just think 78 years old, it's time for you to...
retire.
Go spend time with your grandkids or something and give your party... Not that I'm trying to give advice for the Democrats to be successful because I really hope they fail. But I'm just saying that, you know, there comes a time for some new blood and new faces
right.
mm-hmm. To get your message out, and I think Nancy's day as pastor, plus she's stumbling a lot in public with her comments, you know what I'm saying? So, which happens to everybody if you're around long enough. All right, we're going to take a break right here, and when we get back, Abraham Hamilton III will be with us. President Trump has got a choice to make in the next few days about who his Supreme Court nominee will be. This is huge, folks. This could change the face of the Supreme Court for the next 10 to 20 years. We'll talk about it with Abraham Hamilton III when we get back. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Frank Turek of Cross Examined.
We're coming up to the 4th of July. We're going to celebrate our birthday again. It seems like a good time to talk about some issues of government and how it affects us as Christians.
Following a health scare, by the grace of God, Fred Jackson may be back to help us with the news. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
One of my favorite things to do in Israel is take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello everyone, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be taking our annual tour of Israel in March of 2019, but it's time to sign up. We have a lot of folks sign up early, and last year, in fact, we filled up several months in advance. So for all the information on this trip to Israel, a bucket list trip for most people, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure, call us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your phone number. We'll be flying direct from the States to Tel Aviv and then begin our tour in Jerusalem of Israel. We hope you can join us in 2019.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. There are lots of patriotic towns across the Fruited Plain, but when it comes to flag waving, well, the good folks in Irving, Texas may have set a pretty high bar. This Independence Day, the city will fly more than 40,000 American flags. That's right, 40,000. About 300 volunteers posted the red, white, and blue in front of every home and business and church in the city. Nell Ann Hunt came up with the idea a few years ago. She's the founder of the Great Flag Caper. She started the project with about 200 flags, sharing them with neighbors, and soon folks all over town were getting in the spirit. Nell Ann says Old Glory reminds us about what we have in common, what unites us. That's a message we all need to hear these days, especially on the 4th of July. You can read more about it on ToddStearns.com. So here's to Nell Ann Hunt and the good people of Irving, Texas. They are proud Americans. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Walker, if folks want to watch the show live, what can they do? How can they do that?
Well, they can visit our Facebook page and join all the others that are watching the show right now. Facebook.com, type in Today's Issues. You can also watch on YouTube. Maybe if you don't have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues Live on YouTube. Watch the show there. You can also visit our website, afr.net, afr.net, and listen live there. Some of our folks are listening on the AFR app on your smartphone. Just download the AFR app on your phone or tablet device, and you can listen to AFR anywhere you are, so long as you have an internet connection.
So a plethora of ways to engage the show.
That's right.
And American Family Radio.
That's right.
Abraham Hamilton III will be with us momentarily. He was in here and he left. Where'd he go?
He went to get his microphone.
His microphone?
There he is.
He has a microphone that he carries around with him? Oh, his earpiece.
Earpiece.
Okay. Yeah, come on in, Abe. Have a seat over there. Glad you could join us. Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is a constitutional attorney, and I mean that. He did study the Constitution. He's a public policy analyst for us here at American Family Association and host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time on American Family Radio. By the way, Chris Woodward is still with us.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Again, Chris. I wanted to get Abe's take here on the Supreme Court vacancy. You have the you have Anthony Kennedy retiring. When is he? He's retired now.
Effective July 31st.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but he's nothing to do between now and then.
No,
it's clean out his office, right?
Yeah, to clean out his office.
They're not hearing any cases
no.
at the Supreme Court.
They've completed their
So President Trump was elected, and a huge voting block for the president, then candidate Trump, was Christians. Mm-hmm. And the surveys, I think George Barna and others showed, Abe, that the number one reason why Christians voted for President Trump was the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And or the federal court, but judges.
Yes.
And in fact, a lot of Christians said, you know, I'm going to have to overlook some things about President Trump's personality or behavior that I don't particularly care for. And because on these very important issues like judges and the Supreme Court, he's made promises that no other Republican candidate had made, that he would appoint conservative judges who respected the Constitution and didn't make up law. And that is enormously important to the future of our country. I'm speaking as Christians now, so I'm going to go vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah, he did something that was, as frankly, is unprecedented in presidential politics. He not only made that statement, he then compounded that promise by releasing a list of people,
right,
who he said, these are the types of judges that I'm talking about, that allowed the American public to vet that promise to see whether or not, is he serious?
Was that smart of him or not smart of him to release the names of the people that he wanted to appoint?
I think it was very smart of him, mm-hmm, because he made a promise. I mean, politicians making promises. Okay.
All the time that they break.
All the time that they break. Then for him to go beyond the promise and say, and here are names of the types of people that I'm talking about, gave the American people the opportunity to say, wait a minute. First of all, are these people you're talking about, are they really conservative justices? Would they be conservative judges? Then you do that analysis and you find out he's serious. Because in order for him to have done that, he first of all had to have somebody. And this is, I'll just tell you, this is my thought process. He had to have somebody who had helped him, because President Trump is not a constitutional court observer. So it tells me and the American people, one, he is getting counsel from somebody who is helping him understand what a constitutional judge or justice would be. Secondarily, he is releasing a list that the entire world would be able to say, hey, you said you would do this. You did not do that. You did not do what you said. And with the obvious opening on the Supreme Court at the time, which seat has now been filled by Justice Gorsuch, that it was a huge offering for him to really say, hey, you want to know what type of president I will be? Here you go.
Yeah, and many of you remember that Senator Ted Cruz was very hesitant to endorse then-candidate Trump. Mm-hmm. Even after he was pretty much secure to be the Republican nominee, but then Senator Ted Cruz talked to Vice President Mike Pence in Texas, and Vice President Mike Pence assured Senator Cruz that President Trump would stick to that list. Mm-hmm. And because of that, Senator Cruz endorsed then-candidate Trump.
Well, again, number one issue for Christians and why they voted for President Trump, Supreme Court, and his first choice, Neil Gorsuch, to replace Antonin Scalia, was considered a home run. And now we have choice number two, Chris Woodward, to replace Anthony Kennedy, who Anthony Kennedy was a liberal sometimes and a conservative other times.
Yeah.
But President Trump has a chance to appoint a solid conservative to take his place.
Right. And Fox and Friends this morning was interviewing or doing segments on this. They had a supposed short list that Fox and Friends says has been narrowed down to five people.
Only short people are going to be considered?
People my height.
For the job?
Who am I to judge? I'm what the Bible would call short of stature. But the five supposed people are Justices Brett Kavanaugh, Raymond Kethledge, and Amal Thapur. He's on the Sixth Circuit and the first South Asian American named to Article III federal judgeship.
I don't know what you just said. What did you just say?
He's the first federal judge who has an ethnicity that Mr. Thapur has.
South, what did you say?
South Asian American.
Carolina? What'd
South Asian American.
Oh, South Asian American.
South Asian American.
You mean you can be a? That's the first time I've heard that.
Southerners are not limited to Americans.
Okay. So a South. Okay, yeah. South Asian American.
Yeah, and we've got two women: Joan Larson, also on the Sixth Circuit, uh-huh, and Amy Coney Barrett.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, Kavanaugh and Kethledge or former clerks to Kennedy. Larson and Coney Barrett or former clerks to the late Justice
Yay.
Scalia.
Yeah.
We but want them.
Gorsuch was a former clerk to Kennedy, too.
Well, he defied the odds. Yeah.
But yeah, Barrett and Larson, clerk for Justice Kennedy.
I tell you what, we support Judge Barrett. She would be outstanding, don't you think, Abe?
I think she would be phenomenal. And I think of the people on the president's shortlist, she would be the best.
Right.
Not because I think the others are terrible, but the issue, and we this is common knowledge, this is not some insider information, that Democrats never miss on Supreme Court nominees. When they want to nominate somebody to the high court, they have a card-carrying member of the secular progressive ideology. Mm-hmm. Republicans, at best, and I think that's very generous, have been 50%. And so it is my estimation that we cannot afford for President Trump to miss on this particular nominee.
He won't.
And you have to go with the person who has the most robust record, provable, demonstrable record of consistent constitutionalist judicial philosophy, and that person, in my estimation, is Amy Coney Barrett.
Mm-hmm. Judge Amy Coney Barrett. You know she has 7 children?
Yes.
How do you have time to be a judge?
Well, depending on their ages. And,
you've got 4, right?
I have 5.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, it is 5. I'm talking about 5 plus 2.
Yeah.
She has 7 children. But she's the judge. Again, we're talking about Amy Coney Barrett, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She's the judge, if you remember, folks, you may not know her name, but she's a federal judge now, appointed by the president, and her name is being bandied about as a possible Supreme Court justice. She was the one that Senator Dianne Feinstein from California, remember, Judge Barrett was before her in a hearing, and Dianne Feinstein just railed her for her Catholic beliefs.
You wear your dogma. Your dogma speaks loudly.
Lives loudly.
Yeah,
inside
she said
you.
The dogma lives loudly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Dianne Feinstein was going after the judge on her Christian, her belief in the Bible,
right.
basically. She said her dogma, which she was talking about her Christian beliefs, lives loudly inside you. You know, the liberals, they don't believe in a religious test. Why are y'all laughing?
Sorry.
They don't. They don't believe in a religious test. Liberals don't believe in a religious test for a government office, including a judgeship, unless you are a Christian.
Right.
Then you're fair game. Right? Before you laughed out loud, you didn't let me finish my sentence there.
Right.
But they, you think, I think this would be, if this happened and Judge Barrett is named by the president, she's one of the finalists.
Mm-hmm.
And Dianne Feinstein, the liberal Democrats, go after her again for her Catholic faith or her belief in the Bible, however you want to say it. I think that's going to be a loser for them again with the vast majority of American people who don't like people being, you know, chastised for their religious beliefs.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And I think it's also important to note that she was relatively recently confirmed to the 7th Circuit Court of Appeals. And when she was confirmed, she had more votes in favor of her confirmation than Neil Gorsuch. Mm-hmm. There were several Democrats who crossed mm-hmm. the aisle to vote for
her. I believe even Tim Kaine.
Yeah, Tim Kaine was one of them. And I believe because of the Catholic connection that you're talking about now was one of the reasons why that was done. And it puts those in the Senate in the awkward position, many of them who want to oppose President Trump for no other reason than his name is Trump and president comes before it in terms of his title and the office that he maintains in the country, they will want to come out against Amy Coney Barrett. But then the question will have to be presented back to them. Well, if she was acceptable just a few months ago, what all of a sudden now makes her unacceptable in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker and Abe. And Chris, mm-hmm. and can you stay with us a few more minutes?
Sure.
This is going to be, you know, this is a Neil Gorsuch, I think by all accounts, the new Supreme Court Justice, the newest, was 5 stars
mm-hmm.
by the president. And now the left is freaking out. And I mean freaking out because they know that so many of their victories over the last couple of decades have come because of the courts. not because people go into the polls and voted for their policies. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at the marriage issue, for example. Mm-hmm. But they are freaking out because they think also Roe versus Wade might be overturned. Walker?
Yes. Yeah, the left has created the animal that is the activist court. When I say they've created it, they have fostered it. Mm-hmm. Every legislative decision that they disagreed with in history, the past 40
That's
years.
That's a lot to say in history, Walter.
In the past 40 years, they've appealed every legislative decision where the people have spoken.
Right.
They've appealed it to the courts for vindication. Proposition 8, all the marriage amendments.
Right.
Many pro-life laws. And so that being said, they have been in love with the court system until now that the court system is moving back towards the Constitution. It is going to be the greatest devil that the earth has seen.
Okay, the greatest devil and animal. The Supreme Court. Got a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, the Supreme Court. They will hate the Supreme Court.
Oh, I got you.
In about 5 years, the Supreme Court.
The left will be. Yeah, they'll be railing against the Supreme Court that they once loved.
Right.
I got you. Let me ask you this, Abe, because President Trump talked about this. Let's say that the worst fears of the liberals comes to pass with the Supreme Court, and they do in the next year or two overturn Roe versus Wade, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, that will be the end of the world for the lefties. I mean, that's what they've said, right? Women's right to choose will be taken away. What would that mean if Roe versus Wade was in fact overturned?
Yeah, the simple mechanism for what would occur is that the issue of in utero baby murder will be something that is governed by the province of state legislatures. That's all that would happen. It wouldn't be overturning Roe v. Wade doesn't
outlaw abortion.
It doesn't outlaw abortion overnight.
But that's what they're wanting to say. Yes. The liberals are wanting to say it would outlaw abortion, and that's just not true.
That is absolutely false.
I wish it would, quite frankly, because abortion is the taking of innocent human life, but it's not going to do that.
That's right. And so it would immediately cause the state laws on the issue to immediately be operable in the country. Yeah.
Well, the fact that there are two female judges on Trump's supposed short list leads some people, whose names escape me, but some people seem to think that two females being on this list might lead them to not overturn Roe versus Wade. Like her gender might outweigh her judicial opinion. This subject was brought up today on Fox and Friends with an Elizabeth Wydra, president of the Constitutional Accountability Center. She seems to think that these judges might actually be open to overturning Roe v. Wade.
Those two are obviously the only women on the five list short list, and some people are thinking that maybe they might not fulfill the president's pledge to put someone who will overturn Roe versus Wade, but we can assume if they're on the list, they meet that litmus test.
What do you guys think?
Well, President Trump said in his interview with what's the lady on Fox News that does
Maria Bartiromo. Financials?
What's her name?
Maria Bartiromo.
Yeah, he did an interview with her, and I just saw outtakes from it. And he said, I may not ask them about Roe versus Wade in particular, but he said, I will appoint a conservative justice. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just made that clear. And on the campaign trail, he said, I'm on a pro-life judges. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, again, don't misunderstand me, folks, when I say this, but because I mean it as a compliment. But President Trump didn't know enough at the time to know he's not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to say, I'll appoint pro-life judges. So he said it out loud, but he was elected anyway.
Yeah.
And my point is that's a compliment to him, because I think when I say he didn't know enough not to say that, I think he said it because he wasn't scared of the consequences. Mm-hmm. He really believes. I don't know where along his life he changed his mind on the life issue, because he was pro-choice, pro-abortion for a long time in his career. You remember the statements he would make. Did he ever cite a particular time why he changed his mind?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I'm aware, there are people who are around him who, as far as he's gone, he's shared an anecdotal story about someone, a hypothetical someone who were previously pro-choice. Then, their family got pregnant, and though they previously considered aborting that child, the child has been the greatest thing
But he didn't say who he was talking about.
No, and the people around him are saying that they believe he's talking about himself and
Barron. Yeah.
How the birth of the baby revolutionized their lives and have been a great blessing in their lives. And so many people...
Well, somewhere along the way, President Trump was converted from being pro-abortion / pro-choice to being pro-life.
Yeah.
Thank God he did have that conversion.
You know, and it's so funny to me when people say, well, because of a person's biological sex, that's going to dictate their opinion on a constitutional issue, as if women are unable to navigate the relevance and the application of the Constitution based on their biological makeup. It's a ridiculous assertion. Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculous assertion. And getting back to Amy Coney Barrett, I mean, she has 7 children. That kind of gives you an idea whether or not she's pro-life or not.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting if he names one of these women, President does, to serve on the Supreme Court, and then the women's groups are going to come after these women.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't be a real woman, according to the liberal women's groups, unless you are, in fact, liberal. You can't be a conservative woman. That negates your gender, according to these. I mean,
whoever President Trump puts up for the nomination needs to be a tough cookie.
Oh, they will.
Because this confirmation process is going to be brutal,
right,
to the highest degree. But the people on the list are excellent. So,
do you think this might be on the level of like the Bork hearings back in the 80s?
In intensity, yes. In the effective nature of its impeding quality, no, simply because of the makeup of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
48 Democrats, 1 independent, 2 caucuses with the Democrats, 51 Republicans. Mm-hmm. When Bork was Bork, they had fought at a higher ratio of Democrats and Republicans in the Senate. Mm-hmm. So I do think in intensity it will be similar, but in terms of its effectiveness at impeding the confirmation, I don't think so, especially considering the Democrats that are up for re-election right now that are in states that Trump dominated in the 2016 election. They will feel the pressure of going with President Trump if they really want to be re-elected to the Senate.
And President Trump will stick by his nominee.
Yeah.
And let's just say the first nominee doesn't make it up. Well, then we go to the next constitutionalist. Yeah. You know, and how many are you going
to
bork?
And you may not even have to go to the next one, because here's the thing. Democrats are in an awkward position, because let's say he puts up Amy Coney Barrett, and before the midterm elections in 2018, they don't get any traction with her at that time. Well, guess what becomes the number one political issue of the midterms?
Supreme Court.
President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, much like it was in 2016.
Then you wait till January, right?
You get a new Congress in, you put Amy Coney right back up with new Republicans who have taken seats that Democrats in states that Trump dominated have lost, and now you have a completely different vote.
Let me give you the nightmare scenario for the liberals on this whole situation. I'm looking a year in it. I'm looking a year down the road right here. Okay. Neil Gorsuch to replace Antonin Scalia on the Supreme Court was a wash, basically.
Yes.
Because they both have the same ideology. Now, Anthony Kennedy has been a friend to the liberals and on a lot of very important cases. So he's a 50-50 guy. Okay.
On the issues that are primarily described as social issues, Anthony Kennedy has been on the liberal side.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's gone now, and he's about to be replaced by maybe another Neil Gorsuch, a stalwart constitutionalist, a conservative, to replace Anthony Kennedy. That would give the conservatives a 5-4 solid majority on the current Supreme Court.
Yes.
Okay. Then let's say that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's 85 years old, so what if she passes away or she decides to retire? Then President Trump could appoint a 45-year-old or 50-year-old conservative justice, to replace her. That would give you a 6-3 majority for conservatives on the Supreme Court. You can see the meltdown on the left. They're probably going to start their own country somewhere else. Maybe California. I would give them California and let them start their own country out there.
Yeah.
But 6-3. All right, one other thing here to add to this nightmare on the left, and that is, if you had a 6-3, and then Justice Clarence Thomas, who is 70, years old. He's been hinting at retirement himself for a couple of years. What if he said, you know, now's the time for me to retire because I can be replaced with a much younger conservative jurist, justice, and because the Republicans have the Senate and President Trump, a Republican, is in the White House. Then you could go to 7-2
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, Breyer
is 79.
79.
He's the next oldest.
He's another Breyer. Liberal. So the two oldest on the court, besides Kennedy, now are both liberals, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and
Stephen Breyer.
Stephen Breyer. So there's not a lot that the Democrats can do to stop this from happening should they lose the Senate in November by, I mean, I guess they could continue to give Ruth Bader Ginsburg vitamins and encourage an exercise program.
The only thing they could do to stop it is to try to get enough Republican defections from President Trump's nominee and hope, pray, fight, scratch, claw, get more dead people voting in the midterms to where they gain more ground in the Senate. That's the only way they could do it. If they're able to cobble together a majority in the Senate, that's the only way they could do it. But based on the way things look currently, I don't see it happening.
You know, and I could, you know, some people fault Ruth Bader Ginsburg for not retiring when President Obama was in office.
Yes, you're
because
right.
he could have then appointed a much younger liberal to the court, like he did with Sotomayor and Kagan. And she didn't step down.
Yeah.
I don't know why she didn't exactly. Maybe she loves the...
I don't know how, because she falls asleep routinely in oral arguments.
Yeah.
She fell asleep in the State of the Union.
I fell asleep on the State of the Union.
Well, I got paid to watch it and report on it.
All right, what else you got, Chris?
I'm kidding, I didn't vote.
Well, I do want to mention, staying with the SCOTUS real quick, next week, July 9th is when President Trump is supposed to announce his pick for the Supreme Court. So when you guys convene on July 10th, I will not be here that day, but when you guys gather to talk about today's issues on today's issues, on July 10th, you should know the name of the man or woman our current president is going to pick for the nation's high court.
Yes, we should, Chris. That's right.
All right. Well, real quick, too, talking about defections, trying to get Republicans to defect over this issue, one of those people that supposedly is going to make an issue over the Supreme Court nominee is Senator Susan Collins. She was on ABC's This Week saying that she's discussed the Supreme Court vacancy with President Trump and Senator Lisa Murkowski, the Republican out of Alaska.
The president listened very intently to what Lisa Murkowski and I said, and I got the feeling that he was still deliberating and had not yet reached a decision and that this was genuine outreach on his part.
Was that Susan Collins?
She's pro-abortion.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what that whatever she said right there, that's what she's talking about. She wants to be assured that Roe versus Wade will not be overturned.
I don't know how you can run on the Republican ticket and directly contradict one of the top tenets in the Republican Party platform. Well, why not run as an independent or a Democrat?
Well, Maine is a liberal state, and so for the most part, it's a liberal state. So, you know, you're going to have both sides. On the Democrats, you're going to have a couple, you're going to have two or three pro-lifers. Two or three. They purge most of them. But Manchin, what's his name from West Virginia?
Joe Manchin.
Yeah, you're going to have a couple of them or who don't want to be seen as pro-abortion. And on the Republican side, you got a couple that are, you know, going to be not going to vote for a Supreme Court nominee that's going to threaten Roe versus Wade. So I think they'll basically offset each other. It is a close vote in the Senate, though. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
Abe, thank you.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
All right, Walker. And I shall return. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Steve Jordahl will be with us momentarily. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.